No, it's not on ice.
Yeah. I've never been to an on ice production before.
My daughter's going to go with my wife in August. She's going to go to Disney on ice. And my son was like, nah.
And you're like, oh, I'm with you, man.
I'll look after the boy.
All right, Mark, say something hilarious so I can cut it, and then it'll be like this nice little crisp piece of magic to start the podcast.
Something hilarious. It's a bit weak.
It was a bit weak, but hey, I forgive you. Look, it's another week, Mark. It was a beautiful night on Saturday night. Not such a beautiful day today.
It's a bit miserable.
Yeah. We were filming these on Mondays, and can I tell you what I think about weather and Mondays?
Tell me what you think about weather and Mondays.
I am not opposed to a wet Monday.
You got to go to work anyway.
Yeah, exactly. You got to go to work. And like, there's nothing worse than a wet Saturday or a wet Sunday. Yep. When you're like, especially the week's beautiful all week.
Yeah.
Blue sky days and then just the weekend.
You're looking out from the office window going, shit, I wish I was out there.
Jeez, I could get out there. That'd be nice. Mm. But then you finally get to the weekend and it pisses down. We had a beautiful weather all weekend and then it decided it shit itself on a Monday, which I'm...
You're not opposed to that.
I'm not opposed. That's okay, weather gods.
You can live with that.
Thank you, Tom Cruise. Or whoever you are up there.
Tom Cruise. Where'd that reference come from?
Talladega Nights, when...
Seen that movie.
Will Ferrell's character he's a NASCAR crash and he goes a little bit crazy and he thinks he's on fire. And he's running around the track going, help me, Jesus. Help me, Allah. Help me, Tom Cruise. Like, just names all these religious
figures. Will Ferrell's one of those guys who pretty much plays the same guy in every movie that he's in, isn't he? There's a few guys like that.
Yeah,
like whatever they're in, they're pretty much the same guy.
You think that Ron Burgundy and Alf? Alf's a very different kind of character.
Is it?
Yeah, well, the elf. You know, he's the elf in
the
Elf.
Christmas elf.
Yeah, he's very childish. And
oh, I don't think I've seen that one.
Yeah. Oh, that's a... Have you not?
I might have.
He's also in one of my favorite films he's in is Old School. Go watch that film. That's it. You remember that? Well, it has Vince Vaughn and...
I don't think I've seen it.
Oh, jeez. When he's like... It's about they're like in their mid-20s to late-20s, but they decide they want to start a fraternity.
No, I haven't seen
it. It's really good. It's a hilarious...
I've seen the two Anchorman movies.
Really? I really like Will Ferrell.
He's all right. I don't mind him.
He's great. Yeah, he does have similar kind of comedy in a lot of his things. Mm. He played a really good character in Eastbound and Down. Do you know Eastbound and Down?
The baseball movie.
Yeah, it's a TV show. It's very, very good.
Yeah,
how am I framed here, by the way? I need to be over a bit, don't I?
You can come a bit closer. Yeah.
Come on over. No, I'm a big fan of old Will Ferrell.
Yeah, he's all right. I
feel like you're trying to attack him.
Okay.
And I'm going to be defensive like a South African saying that they don't like scrums. There's just someone saying they don't like scrums. You're hating on Will Ferrell? We've got a problem.
Okay.
Well, I'm glad that... Is that conflict over now?
I think so.
I'm glad we resolved that.
Tom Cruise. He's into Scientology. My mum can't stand him.
Really?
She genuinely, like, will not go to a movie if it's got him in it.
Like, Jerry Maguire, Risky Business, Top Gun.
If it's got Top Gun, not Top Gun. Tom Cruise, she's just like, nah.
Rain Man's a great film.
I like his movies. Yeah, I can kind of separate the man from the movie.
He's obviously got a few screws in different places, but he's also a flipping badass.
Yeah.
Like, he jumps out of helicopters and freaking flies jets and like...
Yeah.
He's 60-something. I don't know. Intense.
I mean, he's done a few... Like, when he was here once filming some movie...
Impossible.
No, it was Last Samurai. Because they were filming it there. They were filming in Taranaki because the mountain there looks like Mount Fuji.
Yeah.
Like one of the radio stations did a bit like, oh, if you can get Tom Cruise to call. And he called.
Right.
And they gave money to charity. And then he matched the money. So it's like something he probably could have just not done.
Oh, there you go. So good on you, Tom.
It's like nice guy stuff with all the weird stuff. You know,
Scientology
I mean?
Stuff is always a bit strange.
It's a bit weird, but then charity stuff's good.
Have you seen that documentary? Is it... Going
is it Louis Theroux?
Is it Louis Theroux does one on Scientology, but there's a big one about going clear, which is like
the top level,
one of the top levels. But then there are top levels above the top levels above the top levels.
This is a rugby podcast, Scientology baby.
Scientology, what do you think? You can't talk too much about it. They might come for us.
Really?
Well, yeah. I'm sorry.
I'm just very ignorant about Scientology.
Lord Zod, we're okay with you.
Okay.
Yeah, this is a rugby podcast, but usually we start this particular rugby podcast with a fair dolloping of just mindless chitter chatter. So I'd say we're in that part.
Well, the whole thing's mindless, really.
What's it all about, really? Are we going to have an existential crisis about the real point of the existence that we have and how rugby, when it all comes down to it, is of little consequence to...
There's worse ways you could pass this time that you're on the planet.
Than watching rugby. It's true. It's enjoyable. For sport sure. Sport in general. I always feel sorry for people who just don't like sport.
Yeah, it feels like you're missing something.
Yeah. I feel sorry for people like that who don't like sport. And then sometimes you meet the odd person there who just like... And you might be one of those people at home, and I apologize. But sometimes you're like... What kind of music are you into? Because I love music.
You do.
We did a music.
We had a music quiz after we finished recording last week, to which the score was lopsided.
I smoked you.
You smoked me. I don't think it was like embarrassing. Like I haven't heard of any of these people.
I was just too quick.
A lot faster at getting them than I was.
Yeah, I think it was 30-8. I think something was like the final score.
Yeah.
So you heard a song. You had to name the artist and the song.
Yeah.
And we had a first of 30 and. You're a bit and then the ones that I was like, well, I wanted to keep it competitive, and I'd just wait like 3 seconds, and you'd be like,
oh, I know this one. Oh, I've heard this one.
Nirvana. Yeah. Oh, Smells Like Teen Spirit. There we go. Yeah. You did well.
But some people are just generally not into music at all.
Okay, yeah, that's where I was going. But you say, what kind of music are you into? And they go, you know what, I don't really, sometimes I listen to the radio, but not really into music. You meet the odd person like that, and I'm always just like,
that's one thing my parents never really got me into was music.
Tunes.
Like my mum would listen to kind of like 60s and 70s music in the car.
Oh yeah?
But she never really...
Bit of solid gold on the radio?
Yeah, that's it. It was just kind of like the classics. So yeah, right. I got to middle school, or intermediate as we call it here, and I was just like a bit unaware as to what popular music was. And people were like, do you like Nirvana? And I was like, yeah. And they were like, what's your favorite song? And I was like... I can't remember the name because I didn't know any freaking songs.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, once I got into music, it was...
It's an enjoyable avenue.
Just like sports.
Like sports. Sports and music, everybody. If you're having a bad day...
Watch some sports and listen to some music.
You know what I do when I sometimes feel a bit glum? I did this for years. I haven't done it for a little while. Don't know if I feel that glum, but I used to watch Christian Cullen highlights because Cullen is... He's almost a deity to me. He is... He's just a freak.
Yeah.
He is an absolute freak show.
Yeah.
There was, you know how I used to make those series about, like, I should get back to it. The top 15 of the world ever.
Did you ever finish that?
No. But it's in progress, right?
People in the last video told you to keep making more videos. And you're just like, nah, I'm gonna play golf.
I like golf.
He's really into his golf right now. Every time I come over, he's watching golf.
I like golf. It's really good.
Like, you've gone through a few phases since I've known you. The golf phase is lasting a wee while.
When you met me, I was going through my YouTube phase.
Yes, that's been and gone.
No, I need to make some more videos. I do. The golf phase. I am a bit obsessive about things when I get into the
product. I can tell.
What are my other...
I don't remember. I've got a forgetful phase, which is about 40 years
ago. It's ongoing. I feel like I was starting with an anecdote about something or a story about something.
Yeah, and it just went.
Damn it, our slippery vines. Does that mean we probably, maybe that's a sign from Tom Cruise or God or whoever?
Get to the rugby, get on with it.
Can we just start talking about some bloody rugby?
Where do you want to start?
Probably with what the most popular game of the weekend in terms of fan bases are.
Number one, South Africa. Number two, Ireland.
They did. They played a game of rugby.
1 point game.
Yes.
Why is there no third game? Because South Africa's playing Portugal.
Yeah, it sucks, but it's also, it gives like these smaller nations a chance to have a bit of
It's funny because we're always like, why don't tier two teams get a game?
Yeah, and this now is
we're
bullshit.
Like, why is this game only two? Why is this only two game series? It's bullshit. Yeah,
Portugal doesn't get a game next week.
If there's three games between Ireland and South Africa, Portugal ends up playing Fiji or something. Like
yeah,
that.
And Fiji doesn't get a game against the All Blacks.
Exactly.
So
you can't have it both ways. Two games so many game weekends in the calendar.
Two games is slightly frustrating.
It is.
Yeah.
24-25. Ireland had a good first half.
They were outstanding in the first half.
Ireland were in a position where they're facing a Springbok side, which I believe is the most capped, like experienced side they've ever fielded, close to 1,000 caps. and they're without Casey, who's gone injured. They are Aki, who's injured. Gibson Park didn't make the tour. I mean, South Africa's got guys out as well, but they were able to field the exact same team 2 weeks in a row, whereas Ireland had to make a few changes. Their nine, their midfield.
Losing LaRue early was a blow.
Oh, for sure.
But no, I thought the Irish, with all that adversity in front of them, they definitely came out the hotter of the two teams.
Yeah.
I really like the way their big boys go to the line and do late soft hands. You know, to players on the inside and outside, and they were getting good penetration. Caelan Dorris had a game this week.
Unbelievable.
Really, really good. And they looked far and away the most threatening of the two sides. And last weekend, I thought the best part of the South African game was the opening, where they were showing us a different wrinkle. They were showing us a little bit of expansive play.
Yeah, we had guys out in the tram lines. Yeah, Khaleesi was out there. Peter Steph was out there.
But we saw none of. I feel like we saw very little of that this week. And then they came out with a caught between two styles of play. It just their physicality was off. They were a little bit more passive in the tackle. Packed out Loftus with, you know, all those passionate fans. You'd think they'd be up for it, but
this week was Durban. Last week was Loftus.
Sorry.
First time they sold out Kings Park, I think they said, since, was it the All Blacks, like 4 or 5 years ago? It's like a long time since they've sold out in Durban.
Jeepers creepers.
So that's how much hype there was for this game.
I thought they'd sell it everywhere in South Africa every time they play.
Yeah, I don't know. Big grounds, I guess. Mm.
But it was, not their finest half. So
certainly the first half. They had no ball.
Yeah. Very little. Throughout the game, I thought they got all their points off the boot, obviously. But
yeah. But only like two of those penalties came in the first half. The other six came in the second.
Yeah. Other than they had that Quagga, the Star Trek character had a charge down. But then there was a knock on immediately afterwards, which stifled that. And I think there was a Malcolm Marx break in the second half. And other than that, I can't remember any. Oh, that Shannon guy or whatever his name is, the guy who came on for LaRue, made some pretty incisive runs.
Sasha Feinberg-Ngomzulu.
But they never really looked like scoring.
They had a few kind of half chances, which could have gone on, but didn't.
Yeah, had a couple of half chances they didn't really convert.
The scrum looked really good.
Yeah, well, that's no surprise there, is there?
But like really good.
Yeah, but very good.
Mm. Their maul was struggling to kind of go forward.
Yeah.
But man, the Irish try, the only try of the game was pretty nice.
That was a nice try. I loved it.
Osborne, Henshaw, Murray finishes it off. Pop, quick hands, like you mentioned.
Nice interplay. Yeah. And they had a guilty as opportunity. I thought they were just about to break him on the stroke of half time. But the South Africans gave away a penalty and they decided to take the points, which is probably the smart option, especially considering that they won by a point. But then that second half, man, it was just like, seen this before, them choking out the South Africans just choking out.
They just
out
started
a team.
Strangling the game out of the Irish, and you're like, I know which way this is going.
Yeah.
Once it went to beyond a 3-point game, I think it was 4 points at one point. I was like, right,
5 points down with 10 minutes to go.
It's like, this is probably, you know, you got to score a try. It's probably not going to happen.
Irish discipline 2 weeks in a row, not great. Is that just
lineout? Also, at times a bit.
A few teams with shocking poor lineouts. I think the South Africans weren't as sharp.
Not as sharp as the week before.
Yeah. So that part of the set piece, we talk about the scrum a lot, wasn't very good from the Irish. And yeah, discipline, giving away penalties that they didn't need to give away. Do you think that's?
What about the one on? Oh, Malcolm Marx, the croc roll, the double man.
Oh, the Caelan Dorris and
James Ryan.
I have heard some takes that he's deliberately targeting a limb, or do you think that it's just a case of him trying to get the player?
I think he's
just
trying to get him out of the way.
So you don't think? I watched Wildcard being like, that is 100%. I'm absolutely sure he's targeting that limb. It should be a red card. It's just an absolute shit move, all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, it's one of those ones. You can't judge the intent. Like, there's a lot of people saying that last play, we'll skip to it, we'll come back to it, but like the Colby where he's going to charge down the drop goal.
Yeah.
Some people are like, oh, he's taking a dive, a dirty prick. And other people like, he just slipped over.
He just slipped.
It's like everyone likes to assume that they know what other people are thinking.
When you, I guess when you're a human approaching a ruck, It's just an absolute mess, and gaggle of limbs and torsos, really. You and know, how are you supposed to know where every limb is at all times?
I don't think there's many players. Like, you go in, you don't mind if you hurt somebody, but you're not going in there going, I'm going to break this guy's leg.
Yeah, exactly. The Darcy Swain one a few years ago, that was a little bit sickening.
Yeah, and even some people were like, nah, he's just...
He's just trying to clear out. He's just in savage mode, and he's just trying to grab any lever to pull and push and get out of there. I always, like... It's been a long time since I played rugby, but rucks are horrible. Like every time, every ruck you're ever in, something very unpleasantly painful is going to happen. Something's going to get squeezed. Something's going to get banged. Like, you're going to be bruised and scratched. Mm-hmm. Like,
you're going to get hurt over a
direction. Exactly. They're unpleasant places to be, but actually having a severe potential career end, you know, or injury that can put you on the side of the on the sidelines for an extended period of time.
Yeah.
We want to avoid those, but does it become where stuff like that, when it's isolating a limb, that starts to become red card territory, or are we happy with yellows on those?
Well, if they want to stamp it out, they will just make it, you know, like the old high shots that we used to have or the tip tackles that we used to have, they'll just make it like zero tolerance.
But... Yeah, right. But then there'll be that collateral damage going, had no idea.
Yeah, the intent's a really hard one. None of us can sit here and absolutely say definitively, people do, but none of us can say definitively what someone else was trying to do. Yeah, like, remember Geordie Barrett years ago when he went for a high ball and ended up kicking
someone in the face?
So, like, literally, some people were like, he's just kung fu kicked him in the head. It's totally deliberate. Other people
he's got his eyes on the ball the whole time. If I just kick up
people
there.
Were like, oh, no, he's just trying to balance himself.
Yeah.
I thought, like, he's probably just trying to balance himself. There might be a part, like, defensive reaction where you're like, oh, someone's coming at me. But I generally err on the side of they are not trying to maliciously injure each other.
Yeah.
I'm a bit naive, but that's the way I tend to look at it.
Yeah. Were you one of those guys when you saw Richard Lowe gouging the eyes out?
No, Richard Lowe is a different story. Richard Lowe, very much malicious to the bone.
Yes.
Kieran Frawley comes on.
Made him number one of my dirtiest players.
Yeah, you
put a card
well.
There, didn't you? Did you ever see that video that I made?
I watched it. You used to make videos.
It got demonetized, that.
Yeah, I remember that.
Is it demonetized or is it limited monetization?
Yeah, I think so, limited monetization.
Which,
basically just means demonetized.
Yeah. No one can watch it. Well, you can put a look. You put a card there. What does that going to impact you putting...
I can put cards on your channel there.
Oh, even ones like that?
Even ones like that.
But boy.
Why don't you make some more videos?
Yeah, should I?
Kieran Frawley comes on. And remember...
Leinster.
Back in the Leinster days, he missed a clutch opportunity to not have that game against Toulouse go to extra time.
The only other time in my life I've really spent an extended period of time talking about him, I was sat right here. And I said to you, I've never heard of this bloke, but he didn't really live up to the challenge, did he? He didn't really stamp his authority and...
Yep.
Probably just doesn't look quite that level.
Yep.
But boy, did he shove it up my butt.
And it's funny because just when I watched the All Blacks game with England All Blacks against England, that's how that works, Mark. And I was saying to my parents when there was a goal line dropout, I was saying, you know when they first introduced this goal line dropout law? Teams used to hit drop goals in return. Because you've got, like, all the time in the world.
Yeah.
And if teams kick it straight to you, why not just take 3 points? It's a freebie.
Yeah.
But teams stopped doing it. Like, the Americans were doing it in the qualification campaign for the 2023 Rugby World Cup against Canada.
It's a
good thing, especially if you kick it straight down the middle.
I remember South Africans used to do it quite a lot.
There was a few
at altitude.
There was a few teams that were doing it from the actual, like, goal line dropout, though. You know, because why not? But Frawley did it from like 40 meters with an angle.
Yeah, and I thought when he did it, I was like,
why are you doing that?
You're 5 points down, mate. You need to press the advantage. You need to get a try. Kiwi thinking.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, that last one didn't even look like he struck it that well. And
that was bloody miles out.
Yeah. The first one was miles out.
They were both pretty far.
Yeah. The second one was closer.
Right.
Yeah, they were definitely a fair distance, but boy, oh boy.
And there was still a bit of time left on the clock for that last one. They could have gone a bit closer, but he's like, no, I'll just take it now.
Yeah, he had the stones to pull it off. And then we had a bit of a kerfuffle about an obstruction that definitely was not an obstruction.
No.
I didn't like that. I thought that was a bit of an odd look. Bunch of players harassing the ref going, obstruction, obstruction. I guess they're just so desperate to win.
The ref... This might sound a bit off.
Oh,
but
hot take from... Whoop, whoop.
I feel like You know, since the Lions tour.
Are you going to say something negative about South Africa? Don't do it. Don't do it.
When we had the Rassie video.
Yes.
I do feel like the referees are a touch more cautious.
Oh, yeah.
With some of the things. Like,
because that was in no...
A few of the refs can be quite dismissive of captains. And that was one of Rassie's complaints about Nick Berry back in the Lions tour.
Yeah.
And this is just me anecdotally. But I feel like when Khaleesi asks questions now, the refs take a bit of time to make sure it's they've gone through it clearly. And then where the Khaleesi wasn't on the field for this one. No. But, and this probably wouldn't be, this would be any final call of a game. Like the England-New Zealand game also had a TMO call right at the death.
Yes.
Let's just fucking check it. Right?
Like it probably wouldn't have got checked at any other stage of the game.
No, but because it's the final call.
Well, maybe the England one was because it's part of a try-scoring action potentially.
Yeah. Final play, you just check it.
Yeah,
but I do feel like.
But that's not getting called back in the freaking sixth minute of the game.
No, I don't think so. But yeah, I do feel like you're right that like the guy's appealing. It's not really what we'd like to see.
No, and there was the guy who started it. Was it who was playing fullback at the end of the game? Or wasn't? It wasn't William.
It was still Osborne.
Wow, it was someone. Was it Jesse Creel on the?
Oh, for South Africa.
Yeah,
Mgomazulu was at fullback.
Yeah, but there was a guy at the backfield, and he pointed straight at Colby.
Oh, it was Delendi, I think.
Yeah, and just went obstruction ref, and then Nick Berry just went, "I'm going to check it. Don't worry." And then like that's what started all the other. Yeah. I don't even think the other forwards would have seen it, but they were like, "Okay, we've got an obstruction. He released.
Let's put
pressure on for the obstruction and hope like crap because obviously they don't want to lose and."
Mm.
Yeah, there was so much on it, so much build up, so much to and fro, all that sort of stuff. It's not a friendly, is it?
No, those teams have a great rivalry going on.
Yeah. Who's the better team, Mark?
God damn.
Ireland.
I mean, if you're at a World Cup, it's South Africa all day. I saw some stat South Africa has won more World Cups in the last 8 years than they have rugby championships.
Yeah.
They've won more game. They've won more World Cup games than they've won games against Ireland in like the last 8 years.
Who won when they played at the World Cup though?
No, Ireland did.
So of the last three times they've played, one on home soil.
I think it's probably fair to say that Ireland has the wood on South Africa at the moment, but it's a freaking arm wrestle every time they play. It's like a flip of a coin game that's going to come down to one moment.
It is a flip of a coin at the moment. Yeah. It's a good little...
It's a great rivalry.
I think New Zealand definitely has a great rivalry with Ireland now as well. And are we playing the Irish later in the season?
I think so, yeah.
So the Irish will be desperate to give us a little payback after.
What's really pleasant for the Irish is that they were without, and again, I know South Africa were without some guys as well.
A lot of heart, eh?
I feel like South Africa's got more depth than a lot of countries. Like the reason they can do the bomb squad thing is because the second choice guy is so much as good as the first choice guy. It's not like you're getting a big drop off when you bring off these other guys.
We've got a bomb fullback.
That's why other teams can't do that because the first guy playing lot of teams, the first guy playing 60 minutes is still better than the second guy.
There's a reason why he's in the first.
Ireland, I think traditionally and maybe at the moment hasn't been looked at as a team that's got the same depth as a team like South Africa. Yeah. But then without those guys, they missed out from the week before. They still took it up again.
Other teams go from, I'm not saying the same class, but this can be the gap. They go from like a Dan Carter to a Stephen Donald.
Right.
Sort of gap at times, you know, between the class of the players.
Yeah.
That's a big parting of class there, isn't it? Whereas the South Africans feel like, I personally would rather play Bongi and Mbanambi than Malcolm Marks. Malcolm Marks, for some whatever reason, scares the
different players. Marks is way better at the breakdown, but Bongi's got some great, devastating close range carries and stuff. So,
yeah.
Either way, they're pretty good.
Yeah, and it was a good test. I did have a little whinge to you before playing it. It was a great test, but that test was a test for the purists. And people, you watching, you are probably a purist.
Yeah.
Anyone who has a YouTube channel is a purist.
Yeah, it's weird you said that because I didn't feel that way, but that may be one where I'm just so lacking in self-awareness as to what that game was.
But no, there were periods in that second half where it was like, we got restarted, we played for 2.5 minutes, there was a penalty, we took a minute and a half, there was a scrum that took a minute and a half, that led to a penalty that took another minute and a half, that a reset took another minute and a half. And then we played for another 2 minutes and a half, and then there was another penalty, and we went through
the, I never felt it at the time.
But it was like a, it was a drama.
Yeah,
it was definitely, you really high tension, and oh my, and if you're a fan of either of those teams, or you're just a person who loves like tense, high pressure rugby.
Yeah.
You know, that's amazing. But if you're like, hey, do you want to watch this game with me? And like, oh, I don't really watch rugby. Oh, it's really cool. This, these are the two best teams in the world. And you'd be watching it going, do they run, eh? Like, there was, it wasn't a huge amount of flights of fancy or running. But, you know, that's the thing. Like, great test matches can be like that, or they can be more like the All Black England game where there was a bit more running rugby. The English were pretty bloody good too. But I think that's one of the things about rugby. You can appreciate both types of the game. But yeah, it was definitely a game for the purists, and that's okay. We can have our fun.
I didn't feel that at the time.
Because you're a purist.
Maybe that's it.
Would you? What?
I feel like my self-awareness is decent. I didn't feel like that one was that stop-start, but maybe I'm just full of it. I don't know.
In that second half, it got pretty. One team scored 24 points off the boot. That's pretty stop.
Eight penalties.
That's pretty stop-start, dude.
I just didn't feel it.
Yeah, because you were excited and you were like engaged and like this is amazing. Despite your sleep strategy this week, which was
strategy. I didn't go to sleep after the Aussie game, so it was like midnight, and I was like, game's in 3 hours. Last week I'd gone to sleep, but waking up after 3 hours is brutal. So I was like, screw it, I'm just gonna stay up.
And what did you do for those 3 hours?
I played Hearts of Iron 4.
What? Hearts Survivor?
Hearts of Iron 4.
Hearts of Iron.
The most boring game.
So you played an incredibly boring game.
I played an incredibly boring World War II simulator game. I get so little time to play any video games.
So you played Hearts of Iron.
I just played Hearts of Iron.
What's the premise? You kill Nazis or what?
You can be the Nazis. You can kill the Nazis.
So it's like Wolfenstein.
No, it's a strategy game. You're building factories and building weapons and designing planes and that kind of stuff. You're not actually doing the fighting. It's like, imagine if they gamified like an Excel spreadsheet. That's this game.
Yeah.
I'm really selling it to you.
Yeah.
It's a special breed that plays that game.
Yeah, I was never into those sorts of games. I remember like liking computer games, and then some friends of mine started playing Command & Conquer.
Oh, yeah.
And they were like, this is the best thing
ever.
It's
real-time strategy.
And I was like, so I've got to like build like,
houses?
I was like, barracks? Yeah. Yeah, I was like, nah, not for me.
That was the first game.
Yes, game one. We have successfully talked about it.
Second, we should go New Zealand, England.
Yes.
Because you're selling this as the game, which was one that's not just for the purists, apparently.
I just thought
there was a lot of errors, despite the fact that we had beautiful weather.
Lovely weather.
Auckland can be quite dewy. Not the decimal system, but... But a bit of water on the grass.
Like 000 to 100 is
exactly
as mathematics and science.
It's kind of like the Ireland game. England did really well in the first half.
England did. Carry on. I had a hot take.
Because we scored a try, but then they scored two tries.
I hear that. We definitely had far more chances in that first half.
Right.
We butchered two or three tries in that first half. I thought we were really, really dominant in that first half. They were doing well to like stop an avalanche from coming through the door. I thought that we definitely did not get pay for, we got those two penalties and he thought, okay, 13-7 going into the second half. But the English found a way. Marcus Smith was, you know, they did their homework. Mm. They realized where the space was after having one game of footage to work with on Razor's men. And they took advantage of it. Two tries over the top of Talia's head.
Yep.
You know, so it was frustrating.
That Freeman one was incredible.
Yeah. Yeah. I liked...
it was an AFL kind of take.
Yeah, yeah. I even liked the Boboiso.
Feyo Boboiso.
Feyo Boboiso. I'm sorry. That was a nice try. There were a couple of nice tries, and the English just were not going away, were they? Like, but I thought that
Talia scored a nice try himself.
The first one was really nice down the to have the awareness to see a little bit of space down the blind side.
You go above your head and start to throw it down.
Perifetta had some really nice touches in the game.
Yeah,
but that try that he absolutely bombed from a guilty edge opportunity from D-Mac.
That one they should have scored. That was like a little 1-2 play. They probably should have gone inside, but they went outside.
There was Finley and also Geordie Barrett on the inside. And that's a try all day if he makes the right pass.
Yep.
But that tried to, it reminded me of that try that Fayanuku did an inside ball at the against Ireland. What the
World Cup?
Yeah, was that our first try? Where
I can't remember.
It was like a little bit of an interplay within the tram lines, basically.
Right.
But it didn't come off. Marcus Smith, who made the error in the first place.
Made the intercept.
Yeah. Redid it. I thought that old D-Mac was playing pretty well.
And then they brought on Bodie and kind of shoved him.
I thought D-Mac started to play better again then. I thought he was very quiet for that for the first 20 minutes of the second half where he went missing. But the All Blacks defended really well. But I thought in that first half, like, he started that opportunity that should have ended in a try that Peter Fetter pulled the wrong string.
Yeah.
He made that great break just out of nothing where he almost had to fend off Cody Taylor before passing it to Cody Taylor. If Cody Taylor manages to connect with Sever Reese and not fumbling it, that's a try. So he set up two really golden points from beyond the halfway, like just nice attacking flair. If those two things end up in tries, which good All Blacks teams are really great at executing when they have, when they make those breaks, hopefully they can do that. Raises men, like we get two more tries there. Like that's a dominant first half and a great performance from D-Mac in that second half. But the fact that they got 14 points up, that 1 point up going into the second half, and that first 20 minutes or so, or 15 minutes or so of that second half was a tough watch.
We were looking average.
Yeah, well, they got that penalty. It became 17. It was 17 points to 12. Was that it? Was that the score? That was 17 points to 13. And they had all the ball. They looked like they were just going to break us at some stage.
It was just a matter of time, surely.
And then you're thinking, shit, we're going to be down 24-13 here.
Yeah. Eden Park record on the line.
Yeah, I know.
Because I don't think Razor would ever live that down if he lost that record.
Someone's got to.
Someone has to eventually, but yeah.
Yeah.
We haven't played South Africa there since like 2013, my dad was saying.
I think we beat them in the last 2013.
Yeah, I think so.
Still, that's a lot of games against South. It's 1994, for God's sake.
Yeah.
You know,
like, but we haven't played them there recently. We've played them in Wellington a couple of times. We've played them at North Harbour. We've played them at Mount Smart, but we haven't played it
either. Beat them at Mount Smart last year.
We did.
Pretty comfortably, actually.
Yeah, we did.
It's going to be. Yeah, I'd like to play them there. I'd like to play anyone there. It's
we win a lot there.
49 games in a row. It's a hell of a record.
From memory, last week when they brought Bodie on, he went to fullback. But this week, he kind of comes in a lot at first receiver. Like, there's a couple of times I think D-Mac and him are kind of both in the...
They're interchangeable.
They're interchanging. But most of the time when there was like a set play, like if it's a scrum or a line out, Bodie's the guy standing at first receiver. So they must have...
They're passing to each other a lot.
That's true. Like, the try that Bodie sets up for Talia comes from a D-Mac pass.
He gets a D-Mac pass to get him into the gap. That's so right. I thought that D-Mac started to, well, everyone was quiet in that first 20 minutes of the second half.
Yeah.
We were really just struggling to get out of to exit. Like, we were actually defending very stoutly. And the fact that they didn't give away a try was, pretty impressive.
Yeah, defensive work.
It was really impressive, to be honest. But that we just sucked at exiting. And then we fumbled when we had when we were in the process of exiting a lot. Like, our hands were crap. Our line-out was just dog balls. Maro Itoje caused absolute havoc.
Yeah. He's a problem.
He is.
Well, he conceded a few penalties this week.
Yeah, I thought he didn't. I thought he was outstanding.
He was better last week.
I thought he was outstanding for the first 60 minutes and then averaged to poor for the last 20 and gave away a lot. He was just gassed. He needed to be taken off.
Like, what do you think? New Zealand commentators sort of thought England was tiring.
I thought he was tiring. I thought Maro Itoje was tiring. And we definitely got a really nice period of attack going where when Bodie started pulling those strings. It was quite a thing, man. It was quite a thing. Favorite Bodie moment of the game?
The double kick. If he'd only pulled it off,
If he pulled it off.
It would have been quite incredible.
The amount of ejaculate in my house, it would have been... You would have come into here. It would have been like an ice skating rink.
That was insane. I don't think I've ever seen that.
It's just nuts.
That was quite incredible.
Yeah, but we did.
It didn't quite come off.
I thought Freddie Stewart was not a good...
Yeah, he was a... I think they missed Furbank at the back. Like, there's one thing about Freddie Stewart. Like, he's great under the high ball. He's a big, tall dude, so he can have some direct carries. But, like, he turns slower than, like, the old bendy buses.
Yeah,
like,
he's got the turning circle of the Queen Mary.
Yeah, basically. Yeah, he is just not good anytime he has to turn around in a hurry.
And he's not actually quick. No. Like, he runs like a lanky
lock. He starts slow.
Yeah, he's
I think he can, like, you know Reese Hodge?
Yeah.
Like, can actually be quite fast if you give him, like, 10, 20 meters to build up.
He's like a very old sports car.
Yeah.
That's right.
He's not like the Teslas, which are like the 0 to 100 in a couple of seconds. He's very much not like that at all. But, yeah, so...
how old is he?
He's still young. He's in his early 20s.
Well, it's Stewart?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I thought he might just be having lost a bit of pace in his legs.
I mean, like I said, I think he can get up to a head of speed. It's just the getting up to.
But he runs like a lock. He's a tall big guy. And lanky. He's a big guy. He's like, you know how you see Brody Metallic running?
Yeah.
Go, Brody! When he's in space. But, yeah. Like, he's giving it everything. But
he's just kind of just all meandering.
Yeah. Looks like he's running in quicksand.
Yeah, that's it.
What
do you think about the... we were 7 points up. At the death, England were chasing it.
Yeah.
They kept going to the corner.
Yeah.
Bodie gets under there to stop that maul again. Not that it's needed because they ended up...
I thought it was an England try. What a robbery.
That would have been brutal, wouldn't it? But not quite.
Well, the thing about... other than that period... Well, that period that we were talking about in the first 20 minutes of the second half with England, it was all England. It was all England. And that first half, they were like one of those football teams that just... Got very few opportunities, but just had incredible
finishing.
Just finished the opportunities that they had.
Yeah,
and that was down to Marcus Smith pulling the restrings.
Well, they
at the
took
right
him
time.
Off. I thought was a but bit then, of a weird
they,
call.
When they came back on, they looked good again.
Yeah,
you know
why did they? They asked Steve Borthwick about that. Why did you take Marcus Smith off? He's like, oh, I thought Finn Smith was going to have good impact. It was the right time of the game, and I was thinking,
what to kick some penalties or some shit?
I didn't get it because Smith was on fire.
Yeah, he was. Yeah, imagine.
Like, if anything, take off Stewart, put Marcus Smith back to fullback and let Finn Smith pull the strings at 10. Which is ended up what happening, but only due to injury.
Oh.
But I feel like Razor got the subs right better than Steve did.
Yeah, I thought Fletcher Newell, when he came on, was massive.
Massive, yeah.
Huge.
There's one really big scrum.
Yeah, it looked like he burst his eardrum when he did it. We've got some decent props.
Yeah.
We have got Tyra Lomax was huge in that game.
Ethan DeGroote, again, was good.
I thought I still want to see more from Artie Sevier. I think Scott.
They kept using Artie as like the main lineout guy.
Yeah,
which I find weird.
He's not that tall.
He's not that tall, and he's like some guys like Peter Armani's not that tall either.
Yeah,
but he's just naturally really athletic at lineout time.
Some
guys are just really good at that. Like Mauro Tojo's not that tall, but he's got really long arms.
Like
some guys have just got the levers and the big mitts to get up there. Whereas Artie is like, he's great at heaps of stuff.
He's stocky.
Line out, I don't think
he had that one really good run when he just did a real Artie. But then I thought he was relatively quiet.
Where's Finau at?
Not seeing him.
No, not really.
Not clearing out we need a little bit more.
He made a few tackles, but
I'm missing old...
Where's the big physical six?
I'm missing Frizzell. I feel like we're missing Frizzell. You know who I'd really like to see just plopping around out there, who's an incredibly dynamic player, who X-factor things, amazing things just seem to happen around him?
Oscar Satutu.
And the bloody guy Satiti doesn't even get a look in. So.
Yeah, they'll play him against Fiji.
Oscar Satutu, come on.
Super Rugby Player of the Year.
Yeah, imagine that. You're the player of the whole competition.
Don't make the All Blacks.
Don't make the All Blacks. We're not better.
24-17.
I thought that decision... Look, I don't know if I was...
Are you disappointed by the way this Razor team is playing, or are you encouraged by the way that under adversity in 2 weeks they've managed to use the bench to kind of come back into games?
I was saying at the beginning of this, when we were previewing all these games, I was thinking England's going to be a massive old challenge because they are a team on the up. They know their DNA. They beat Ireland. I thought they were just getting better and better towards the end of the World Cup. And this Razor team was going to be coming together relatively cold, trying to understand a whole new system, new coaches, new. I know there's a lot of players like D-Mac.
Team's pretty familiar though, isn't it?
But D-Mac, how many games has he actually started?
Yeah, not
10.
I think
it was like
six or something they said.
Cortez was nice when he came.
Oh, yeah,
I thought.
For sure.
So there's new players in new positions, it's a revamping of existing players in a lot of ways. But this was a really good chance to get them on the hop, get them when they're a bit cold. And the fact that they were able to not perform to their best, have a shocking line out, drop a lot of ball, but have the ability to still win, I think that's a really good sign. And I thought that if we're able to get our line out right, and if we can just become a little bit more ruthless when we're making those breaks, because we are making those breaks, that's going to enable us to get a lot more points.
Right.
You know, if we go up 21-7 in that first half or whatever, we're happy days. You know, and other former All Black teams would have done that. And then also when they were under immense pressure, with all the pressure of Eden Park for that first 20 minutes where they could have just folded and they didn't, I think that actually shows a really high degree of character too. Mm. So I'm trying to say I'm encouraged.
Okay.
Long answer to your question.
Good.
Yeah. You and Kawa, what are your thoughts?
I think it's exactly what we expected in terms of he was getting some criticism after game one. Anyone who thought it's just going to be gold from day one, I think it was dreaming.
Yeah.
That's not how it works.
No. And England are flipping good.
Yeah.
Really good. I was a little bit disappointed. We've been big upping him a lot this year. Ben Earl was not as best.
Him and Savi maybe cancel each other out a bit. somebody mentioned that in the comments. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They just had their own little... But Ben Earl missed a few tackles.
Like, in each game, he missed a tackle, which I think directly led to a try.
And he was out...
He missed Petafetta in game one. Did he miss like DMAC in game two, I think? Yeah. In the build-up to like a good All Blacks move.
I was telling anyone who'd listened to me that Ben Earl was great.
Yeah. He still led the way for like carries for them and had a bunch of run meters and whatnot. I guess so. But still didn't look... Him and Artie didn't look as good as they can play.
Well, it's a long season. Maybe it's a long season for Ben Earl.
It's the end of the long season for him, yeah.
And it's just a 13-month tour of duty for these guys. And then start of the season for getting up to speed with non-Japanese rugby again, maybe as well.
Mm.
But Bodie, man, he didn't have a problem.
Good player. Do you start do you still leave him a
that
super
was
sub?
His Roy Jones Jr. moment, man. Like, that was his, y'all must have forgot. Like, just reminding people how, I'm trying not to swear, I know this is on your channel.
Yeah.
How effingly classy that guy is. He's
a guy who's been World Player of the Year, he gets a fair bit of stick here in New York.
Yeah.
Can't believe they're playing Bowden Barrett. What's he done for
us? Okay, I like to throw these problems at you sometimes. Okay, so you got Bowden Barrett.
Last time you asked me this, I said they would start Bodie in game two. They would be conservative, and Razor went, nah, we're going to keep Stephen Bear
further. This is your problem, okay?
Okay.
So you got D-Mac, Bowden Barrett. Moanga's going to be back for the end of the year tour, I think.
Is he?
He's touring. He's with the team at the moment. He's spending time with them, all that sort of stuff. Okay, so I'm going to put him in the mix. Petafetta and Will Jordan.
Holy moly.
Okay. So those are all our fullback and first five options.
Okay.
Okay, you can have three of those players. What's the mix?
So Richie's at 10, Will's at 15, and Bodie is at 23. That's the Razor.
That's the
Razor. Because he loves his Crusaders boys.
That's the Razor orgasm.
Yeah. But if you're really going to give D-Mac a fair crack, he needs more time at 10. So you give it to D-Mac.
Mwanga's where?
Mwanga is holding the tackle bags. Bodie's still at 23 and Will Jordan's at 15.
She's a tough one.
I know.
Petafetta's ain't got a look inside.
Sorry, Stephen, you're a Blues boy, but Will Jordan's Will Jordan. Yeah. Unless they put Will Jordan on the wing, which they do a fair bit.
I reckon that could happen potentially when you bring on Bowden for 15, they'll push Will Jordan to a wing for the last 20.
Yeah. What's interesting, though, is they haven't utilized that much of Stephen Petafetta's, like, kicking game.
Yeah.
Like, when Bodie came on at fullback the week before, it was immediately a lot to the boot. And this week as well, when he came in at first receiver, a lot straight to the boot. Like, Petafetta's a 10 by trade, kind of, who's become a bit of a fullback as well. I don't get it. He's got a good boot on him.
I felt like when Bowden came on, it just gave the rest of the team a lot more
confidence. Maybe
D-Mac started to play with a lot more confidence. He was like,
"Bowden's here, thank God for that." Yeah, it's like your big brother. Yeah, I can just your big brother shows up for a fight. Like, yeah. I look at my brother on you.
Exactly. Thanks, Stephen, but my brother's here now.
I'll take it from here.
Yeah, but like just the way they, I thought they worked really nicely together. I really did.
Yeah.
It's actually really nice to see. But yeah, you're okay with where this Razor team's at?
Yeah.
Cannot wait to play South Africa.
In South Africa.
Come on. Biggest challenge in the sport.
My dad sent me messages earlier today saying he's pretty happy with the way Razor's boys are going, but he's cautious about getting too optimistic about, he called it Bokland. Going to Bokland.
The old Bokland.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sounds like a bunch of chickens. Bok. Well, do you know why chickens cluck?
No.
Because. Yes. Boom.
I knew it was coming. And I still went.
You knew that was the joke?
I knew. I didn't know that joke was coming, but I knew something really dumb was coming.
Because. It's good. It's a good joke.
Did you watch Australia against Wales?
I did watch Australia versus Wales, and I was thinking to myself, this is going to be a long night for Wales after 10 minutes or so.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it turned out to be a really entertaining game.
The Aussies have got some arsey tries in them, eh?
Oh, that... Okay, try the weekend, though.
The Dalgunu try. The build-up to the Dalgunu try is like they fumble the ball, then they bounce bounce past it to Tom Wright, who shovels it to Kellaway.
No, that was... From the moment Tom Wright got it, then it's class. Yes. By Tom Wright sees the fact that Kellaway's got half a metre of space, puts in... An audacious chip kick, 5 meters out.
Kellaway's got a man coming at him, and it's just kind of...
It's a 100-meter try.
He shimmies around him.
Shimmies around him, puts up a chip.
Tips it to McWright.
Like, nothing. No time to do it. Like, and then McWright puts on the afterburner as much as he possibly can. He's no slug, but he's
enough
forward
to draw the tackle from Dyer. That's where I think the All Blacks mucked up their try earlier on, where they didn't do enough to draw the defender.
Yeah.
Make the defender commit, then pass, which is easy for me to say from my...
It's just drawing pass, guys. It's basically simple. Just do what Mark would have done.
Mark said, exactly.
Yeah.
But yeah, Dyer makes the tackle and McCrae lets the ball go.
Beautiful try. Beautiful try.
Try the weekend.
Yeah, really great
for
try.
For sure.
And then...
Jake Gordon gets one from a box kick.
Yeah.
Just drop ball from Wales.
Drop ball from Wales. It was a bit of a sad one. You're just like... Ugh.
And the Dalgunu's second one was Liam Williams, like Colby last week, just tapping it in.
Yeah, that's right.
It was like two, it's like you never see that.
And Liam Williams scored one and he sucked his thumb.
Yeah.
That was a bit odd. I was like, you deserve to, then I felt.
Apparently he has a stutter.
Oh, I don't mind that.
He doesn't like doing many, I've seen him do post-match and I've not heard him stutter. Gareth Gates has a stutter. But apparently, who?
Gareth Gates. Gareth Gates is a deep cut. When I was in the UK, lived in the UK in 2002. And
2002, I was still at uni.
Well, yeah, it was the first year I should have been at uni, but I took a gap year.
Right.
And they had the very, very first Pop Idol, which later was the precursor, was the precursor to American Idol. Simon Cowell's first appearance to the world was on through Pop Idol. And Gareth Gates was the contestant who came second.
Okay. Doesn't stutter when he sings, but...
Doesn't stutter when he sings, but when he speaks, he's like, I'm... And he really softly spoke, I'm Gareth Gates.
Oh.
Yeah. Anyway, there's probably like three people watching it going, I know who Gareth Gates is.
Okay.
So if you...
I assumed it was a rugby player.
He wasn't.
He might have been.
Joe Biden used to have a stutter, and now he doesn't have a brain.
Hot take.
He's gone. It's just sad watching him because he's an old, just an old man.
He's older than my dad. A lot older than my dad.
Yeah, a lot. He's older than
my dad. Can't imagine my dad running.
He's older than my dad. My dad's dead.
I can't imagine my dad like running a basic operation at the moment. Like he's retired. He's done his duty, you know. He's done his work. You know, he's enjoying the fruits of his labor.
Yeah. Exactly.
I'm not trying to run.
Run.
Why are we getting into this? You started it.
Yeah. Okay. Poor old Biden.
So what's the Liam Williams scored a try.
More about American politics.
He sucked his thumb.
Yeah, he sucked his thumb.
And apparently, he's got a stutter, so he doesn't like doing post-match interviews.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I've seen him do them, and I've not heard him stutter. But apparently, he has a stutter.
It's okay, man. I don't mind.
It is what it is.
Yeah, right. Yeah, it must be hard, though.
What have you got?
Herpes.
And we all know that.
What have I got? ADHD. Just strange. Okay. In a lot of ways. People have always told me I'm odd.
I'm very stingy.
Yeah, you're clinically a cheap bastard.
Yeah.
Someone
told me, like, in the comments, because I did a live stream with the old boy.
Yeah.
I guess we were dressed warm. Someone was like, put the heat on, you cheap fuckers. It looks like don't worry about it. It doesn't matter. It looks like an igloo in there.
Yeah, do you not even put on the heat on for your old man?
We didn't put the heat on. Gosh. Our house is not that cold, but it was still
it's
winter.
It's cold, right? We're right in the pit of winter right now.
It's like 12 degrees. It's not cold.
You always
cold.
Find it really warm when you walk into my house.
Oh, your house is always toasty. I'm hot right now.
Yeah, we haven't even had it on for last wee while. Yeah.
Rio Dias scored a nice try. Got rid of loss. Yeah, boomfa.
Do you want to tell them the story that I told
Tony,
you?
Tony put on a bet. It was like a multi. And I was like,
put on a multi.
It was Australia to win. I was like, well, you did that. And it was by 1 to 10. I was like, okay, there you did that. And Rio Dias to score any time. I was like, why are you unhappy with this bet?
Because I put it all on. I showed you the screenshot of
me
selecting.
You showed me the screenshot.
Of selecting it all. I thought I put it on for $50. You know, it's not a small amount of money, but it's not a huge amount of money. Like, just something to keep me interested.
You would have won $400.
At the end of the game,
dollars.
It was going to come back at $433. But it's not in my account. And what I presume I've done is either the TIB's marked up.
Unlikely.
Or I just forgot to press confirm. So I went through the game going, just keep it. And when Rio Dias scored at the end, I'm like,
that money already.
Yeah, I'm like freaking like feeling like $1 million. But yeah, it got quashed pretty quickly. But anyway, it's like I didn't place a bet. Nothing lost, at least.
Sure.
Which I was quite prepared. I was like, that's going to be $50 down the drain. So at least that didn't happen.
That's true.
But I certainly didn't get $433 back.
Wales's mall looked good.
Yeah, and I thought, look.
Two tries.
There were a couple of moments in that game where you just thought, okay, the spirit of Wales is completely gone. They've got no chance. After 15 minutes, I thought, the game's done. This is embarrassing now. This is
it was like 17-0 or something, right?
Yeah. And I was... But the fact that they managed to stay in the fight, you got to give them credit for that
they
at least.
They kept coming back into it.
They kept on coming back
kept
into
making
it.
Making it just a bit interesting.
Yeah. And like, there were... And it became very entertaining and... Just a few soft tries, like Dangunu's try. The
second one's a bit of a soft one.
That's a softie.
The Gordon one's a drop ball. The Alalatoa one's just power from close range.
Yeah.
That happens.
Yeah. But what is that? How many losses in a row?
It's like 9 or 10.
Okay. Are you going to ask your favorite question that you ask every time we talk about Wales?
Gets.
Gets. He's still rather forcefully... imploring people to believe that he's the right man for the job. Is he the
What's
right
he supposed
man?
To say? No, I don't know what the frick I'm doing.
Yeah, like...
I mean, it's a young squad.
Is this impacting his legacy?
Has to be. But, I mean, it'll come down to the end of the World Cup cycle, won't it? Like, believe it or not, when Andy Farrell
is
took
over... Is he
going
to be there for another 4 years?
So, yeah.
Jeez.
When Andy Farrell...
Like, how many games do they have
Andy
to lose
Farrell
in a row?
Took over from Joe Schmidt, right? They'd had this all-conquering side in 2018. Then they were a bit underperforming at the World Cup year, and it was like, oh, Joe Schmidt's been figured out.
Yeah.
And then Andy Farrell takes over for 2020. They're pretty average.
Yeah.
And I think 2021, pretty average, albeit with a bit of COVID disrupting all the games there. But then he didn't just, like, get the side to be what they are now overnight, so... Gats has only been there since the World Cup last year.
Did he have 9 losses in a row?
But he had a bit more of a stable platform with veterans still in the squad. I mean, if Gats had Tipperick playing,
you're being a bit bipolar on Gats now. Like, you one
because
one
they show signs that they can be a decent side, even though they're really young.
Yeah.
So, I don't think it's second.
Do you think it's the cattle, not the coach, then? Do you think, like, PVAC was hard done by because they just don't have the talent?
I do think they thought they kind of should be here. I'm raising my hand above my head for any of our listeners. This is a
By the
podcast.
Way, you can't... You're up in the air. You're above the frame.
Oh, there you go. There.
But then that's not above your head.
Okay. there.
You sink a little lower.
So it's like,
go get lower.
And then, get lower. But then they were actually here.
They were more like
a bit lower. Because why don't I use words to do this? So when Pivac was coach, they thought they should be a good team, and they were an average team.
They thought they should be in the top five in the world,
basically. But yeah, they weren't there. And the fact that he got one Six Nations, he got a Grand Slam.
The bit South Africa in South Africa.
They beat one game South Africa in South Africa. That's true. So, yeah, I just don't think they were as good as they thought they were.
Yeah.
And then they thought if we get the coach who was good to come back, then we're going to be back to where we should be. But
they made a World Cup semi-final in 2011 and in 2019.
Yes.
And they almost won both of those games. Well, 2019, it was a tough battle against South Africa.
Yeah.
That
was a real.
They should have won that game in 2011 against the French.
Yeah.
How did they go?
That was the Warburton red card game.
Yeah, 2015. Even with the red card, they played like champions. Mm. They really did. That was a shocker.
What happened in 2015?
Where did they end up?
Quarterfinal? Who were the semi-finalists?
No,
us and the Aussies made the final.
They bit
the Argentina. Oh, it was all Southern Hemisphere teams
in the semi-finals.
Yeah, it was all over championship semi-finals. We beat the Argies. We beat the Box. And then the Argies are
pretty good at getting to a World Cups,
man. Yeah.
Semi-finals. Although they didn't go so well this. Oh no, they won this weekend, didn't they?
Yeah. Exactly.
There we go. He's got a hat on. So now when you say, I don't like the man of the hat, you might be talking about, you wear a hat every week, and we know exactly who they're talking about when they say that, don't we?
This is true.
Mm.
But yeah, Australia won 2 from 2 under Joe Schmidt.
Well done, Australia. Commiserations, South Africa. I mean, commiserations, South Africa, but commiserations, Wales is what I was talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah, bad luck. Good effort in that game. Good effort coming back from a tough spot.
Yeah, they were seemingly dead and buried and didn't give up.
They're their own worst enemy in terms of the mistakes they make.
At times, yeah.
And that's the end
of their lineup was also a bit shaky as well.
So that's the end of their international season, right?
They've got one game against the Queensland Reds coming up. So it's not a test
match.
So they can't break that run, but they should get it. If they lose against the Reds, then you send Gats back to New Zealand. Send them back to the Waikato. They've got to beat the Queensland Reds without their Wallabies players.
Yeah, God. You hope so. Do you think they'll be starting their second stringers really in that game, won't they?
Well, they have to, but the Queensland Reds are a Super Rugby side without their Wallabies.
Yeah.
So you should be beating them.
Why are they playing the bloody...
I don't know, they need another game.
They needed a bit of coin for the coffers as well, potentially.
I don't know.
That's odd. Okay, well, anyway, are you going to watch that?
Maybe.
Maybe if you happen to
get it. If it's on.
Well, it'll be on at a time that will be...
A lot of the games are not on.
Yeah, it's
hard. Like Tonga, Italy wasn't on.
I tried to
Japan,
find...
Japan, Georgia wasn't on.
I couldn't even find highlights for that one.
Yeah, Scotland and the US wasn't on.
It was on YouTube.
Oh, right.
The full replay, the full game was on YouTube. Yeah,
some of them have been uploaded to YouTube, but like in terms of watching...
And I watched the first 5-7 minutes in Doohan. I saw Doohan van der Merwe's first try.
Okay.
And then I had to do something else, and then I forgot about it.
Nice.
And then they ended up winning 42-7,
yeah,
something like that.
Pretty comfortable.
Not that bad. The
Canadians beat Romania.
But boom, finally got a result.
Because Romania beat the US last week, and we were like, wow, that's unexpected. And then Canada got hammered by Scotland.
Which was
and Canada's not as good as America. So if Romania beat the US, then Romania should be beating Canada. But Canada beat Romania.
You're playing rugby math.
Exactly.
Yeah, amazing.
Somehow that makes Canada the best team in the world, I'm sure.
Yeah.
You can trace it all the way back.
Or Romania. One of the
they beat Romania.
I don't know, but if that logic's going to apply, Romania beat the USA.
That was the week before. So last week, Romania was the best team in the world.
Oh, damn it.
Now it's Canada.
It's definitely not South Africa, though, so that's good.
Rugby World Rankings will be out.
Yeah. How do you know? How can you tell that the South Africans are the world champions? Don't worry, they'll tell you.
That might be one to look at the stats, eh? Like, I would love... Like, they popped it up on the screen at the start of that Ireland game where they said Russie's, like, success rate as coach was 67%. And I was like,
it's not great.
It's like, that's okay.
It's not great.
But his success rate at World Cups is 100%, so that's pretty good.
Yeah, that is pretty good.
You can't argue with that. So,
but he's still lost two... games at World Cups.
Yeah, he's lost two games at World Cups, but one.
He was the assistant coach last year as well.
He was the director of rugby last year. I'm not sure if they counted those games or not. But yeah, I was like, oh, okay, it's not that high.
But yeah, 60, so Foz had 72, 73.
And he was like the lowest All Blacks guy of freaking ages. Yeah, yeah. Anyway.
Razor's rocking at just a cool 100% at the
100%
moment.
100% thus far.
Ba-boom.
What did you watch of Argentina against France?
The highlights.
France had some off-the-field issues.
Yeah, yeah. Nasty sounding.
Sent home for some racist video.
It was Gemini?
Yeah, after an election result, I believe.
If I see an Arab, I'm going to punch them or something like that. Don't do that, man.
That's a weird thing to say.
It's not a weird thing. It's a bigoted, racist,
yeah,
Awful, disgusting thing to
Why
say.
Why would you do that?
Yeah.
I don't get it.
Can I swear? Can I say the F word on your channel?
Go on.
That guy's a fuckwit.
Yeah.
Don't be a fuckwit.
Can you recover from that kind of thing?
Because
like Matera said some pretty stupid stuff when he was like 19 or 20 or something.
I do think that there needs to be a pathway for recovery for anyone who commits most heinous acts in this world.
Mm.
That all of us, none of us are infallible. People do make mistakes and make bad decisions. And
I've never said I wanted to headbutt an Arab person.
No, neither have I.
But that doesn't. Yeah, I don't know. It's a hard one, eh?
Yeah, he filmed himself and uploaded it. That was pretty fucking.
What's going through your brain?
Really dumb. And it's an awful thing to say. So I think he needs to face what he's done and have some consequences. And then hopefully through some understanding and
education,
he can see the error of his ways a little bit and come to some sort of. I think people can have personal change within their lives, and we all can improve in lots of ways.
Because I see that, I partly bring that up because I see that with Sebu Reese every time he plays for the All Blacks.
Yeah.
There's always someone who's like, oh, if there's like.
What he did was disgusting.
Yeah.
And then, but he, from that point, he decided,
I'm going to never
going to touch alcohol again.
Mm.
And yeah, so he's taken steps to do it. But you know, it also he has to live with it and he did it and people bring it up and that's part of the process.
That's one of those things, though, that if you've done it, you're just going to be that kid. Like I remember when I was in second year primary school.
Yeah.
I asked my teacher, I'm 6 years old, probably five. I don't think I had my birthday. I would have been 5 years old. I asked my teacher, can I go to the toilet? And she's like, no, wait until morning tea time.
I
was busting to go to the toilet because I was afraid of my teacher.
Yeah.
And I waited till I was busting before I even asked her. And because she said no, I was like, holy shit,
I'm in trouble here.
I pissed myself.
Yeah.
And I became the kid who pissed himself. Like, I remember in high school.
Similar thing happened to me.
In high school, there was one girl who I kind of fancied. And I remember once she just brought it up in conversation. I was like, well, that's never going to happen. Because I'm the kid who pissed himself. And I'm not saying, you get what I mean, right? My point is that like once you've done something.
I had a really similar situation. Mrs. Okay. Whitefoot wouldn't let me. I was like, I need to go.
Yeah.
And she didn't let me go. Then I was just pissed myself on the mat. And
exactly the
very
same thing.
Shameful.
Miss Lumsden Nichols did it to me.
Yeah, Lumsden and Miss Whitefoot. Miss Whitefoot's dead now, sorry. But yeah, then I've got this mate, this guy that I see.
You know, they called my mum into the school.
I don't remember I got called, I think.
And they were like, why did your son pee his pants? And she's like, well, he didn't pee them last year.
Yeah.
So what's happened in this class? My mum was in there to bat for me because I didn't piss myself in year one.
I don't remember my parents being called.
No, my mum got called because they were like, this is an issue.
Your son was five. I was like very new to school.
Your son shouldn't be pissing himself at school. And she's like, well, he didn't piss himself in year one.
Yeah, right, okay.
So they told me, oh, anytime now.
We're bringing up these very painful primary school.
But yeah, I guess there's got to be a road to redemption, but whatever you've done is on your record.
I don't
forever.
Really think about that too often. But I have this one guy that I know, Savio Steves. Savio, and I was mates with him at school, but every time I see him now, I see him like once every 3 or 4 years, and every first thing he says to me every time, he's like, remember that time you pissed yourself when you were five? I'm like, I was five, dude, we're 40, can we let it go? And he still thinks it's funny. I'm like, oh, you suck, man.
Nice.
Yeah, every time I see him, Savio Steves.
So is that fair that Jaminet is just going to be, even if he does change his ways and, you know, legitimately sees the error and what he's done and whatnot, he's just always going to be the guy who wanted to headbutt somebody for their race?
Yeah. I don't know.
Basically,
this Argentinian, what's his name?
Batera.
Yeah.
He's largely managed to
get over it.
I don't see. Well, like with the Reese thing, I see it every time. Anytime he plays for the All Blacks, I see Reese's thing.
I think it's just,
I mean, beating the beating the snot out of somebody is different from.
Do you think he's just like I'm not going to justify what Jaminet did, but like he's got some ideological problems or the way he views things, and he's pissed as a fart. He gets out his phone. He says some things
says some
that he, he thinks some. He says some things that he thinks is controversial and funny in the moment, and goes and just pissed uploads it, and then. But that's no excuse, really.
Anytime you're trying to justify that stuff, it just sounds like you're trying to justify some horrible behavior.
Yeah,
but as we said, there has to be a road to redemption.
Yeah, hopefully you can get one.
Can I change the topic a little bit?
Yes. Should we talk about when we shat ourselves when we were 18?
There's a competition at the moment one of the local department stores here in New Zealand called The Warehouse.
Yes, where everyone gets a bargain.
If you find a little cardboard cutout of an alien creature called Ali the Alien, you can get a prize.
Yes.
Right?
Is it just hidden around the shop?
It's just hidden around the shop, right?
Yes.
It's school holidays.
Uh-huh.
So I took my kids to The Warehouse and I was like, well, just have a look around.
Go find out.
See if you can find it.
Yeah.
We found it. I found it. So
where was it?
It was in the toy section.
Oh.
So we go to the thing and we're like, can we have our free prize? And they're like, yep, here you go. And it's a $3 like hand helicopter thingy. Like it's a little straw with a propeller on it.
Yeah, yeah.
You flick it between your hands and it's up in the air. And my kids were kind of like, oh, that's all right. But they had a blast with these propellers.
You're right. And right? Yeah, yeah.
Then the next day, I had to drive out to my parents' place.
You're there every day looking for this thing.
And then there was a warehouse nearby and my son had just fallen off his bike.
Oh, yeah.
So he was like not in the mood to play outside for a while. I was like, all right, let's just go to the warehouse and have a look for Ellie. My daughter found it.
Nice work.
So we found it again. But we were behind somebody else who also found one in the store.
Uh-huh.
A grandma with her two grandchildren. And I said, oh, yeah, we found one yesterday and it was a $3 little thingy. So, you know, I was kind of trying to say, set your expectations pretty low.
Yeah, you're not going to get...
You're not going to get that much. So they were ahead of us in the line at the customer service desk. They get a box of like freaking 5 board games.
Oh.
And I was like, oh shit, that's all right. And then what are we going to get? And we get 2 70-cent bubble wands. And I'm like, but my point of my story...
This is the second one of these I found.
My point of my story is like... Because I saw a Facebook post on The Warehouse saying like, oh, come look in our store for Ellie. And a bunch of... And there was a picture of a kid who'd won an Xbox.
Then there
was a bunch of people in the comments going, I only found fucking bubble wands. But I was like, there's no way you can say like, it was nice to get something for free, but I wish it was good without sounding like a prick.
That's true. Yeah.
Because
they
could have given you nothing.
And there's no way to justify someone's racial behavior without sounding like a prick.
Exactly. That's my point. There's no way to talk about Reese or Jaminet or anyone else who's done horrible stuff and like excuse them without sounding like an ass.
Yes. And then even you saying there needs to be a road to recovery, some people are like, no, let them cook. They
live with it, basically.
Yeah.
But Argentina won. 33-25.
They started, had a hot start.
France got the first try.
Yeah, but then they really kind of took them to clean up. Then
last week, Argentina's forwards were crap.
Yeah.
The scrum was on roller skates going backwards.
Do you think they took it personally? They got
diddled
up by a
They get one try through Bejo, the tight head prop. They get a 5-meter scrum pushover try, and they get two tries through their reserve loose head prop. So the forwards were mad.
I watched a tiny bit of it live, and I watched a bit where because I was watching the Irish game at the same time. But I was like, over at halftime, oh no, it wasn't halftime, but just for whatever reason, I just checked on the score.
Yeah.
And the Argentinas were up quite comfortably.
Yeah.
20 minutes later, I turned it back on. And
France
turned
the lead.
I was like, France turned the lead. And then from my mind, I was like, oh, France won that game. And just now, before you turned up, I was like, I better watch this bloody their highlights.
Mm.
And then I was like, holy shit, Argentina pulled it out of the bag.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah, they went, you know, real. I thought that they kind of would have had their souls taken after blowing that big lead. A couple of like softer-ish tries to like with the nice friendly bounces to the French and a little bit of soft defense and but they managed to still find a way. So
they played pretty well. Much needed.
Yeah. That'll be good points that they get in the world rankings too, won't it?
Yeah, there will be actually.
Yeah.
Because France have rated quite a bit higher than them.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Nice.
Well done, Argentina. You needed that win. And their lineouts looked pretty solid 2 weeks in a row. And no guy's accused of sexual assault, as far as I'm aware. So,
oh yeah, that was the other bad thing.
Yeah,
yeah, we haven't even touched on that. It sounded nasty. But we won't touch that one.
No, not with a barge pole.
Yes. Yikes.
Tonga lost to Italy 36-14.
Okay.
I've seen a little touch of it on YouTube, but
I have not seen a thing.
Italy needed that because they lost to Samoa last week.
Right. What's with the likes of? They're not going to be playing like George Piatau and
Fikitoa was playing in that game.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So they had some of the big guns back. I think Adam Coleman, the former Wallaby,
Sparkles McFabulous isn't in there. Obviously,
no, he's not playing.
What's happening? Where is he just playing in Japan at the moment?
Don't know.
Okay.
Controversial figure as well. Should we get into that topic?
Yeah.
Samoa beat Spain in the torrential rain over in Apia, 34-30.
Man, the islands, when they wanted to rain, they rained, eh?
Oh, yeah, it was pissing down. So I watched it a bit on TVNZ.
Samoa played Spain?
Yeah.
And what was the score?
34-30.
Whoa!
Yeah.
Holy smokes.
Spain has missed out on, I think, the last two World Cups due to fielding ineligible players.
So they got it.
So they're a decent side. They're better than Romania, I think. Like, they should have been ahead of Romania for two World Cups, but missed out with ineligible players. So
bad management.
Basically.
That
so
sucks.
They played all right. They got a try at the end, which made it look closer than it was. But, I mean, they were ahead for a while.
That's not in Samoa.
In Samoa, yeah, that's right.
The Italians just lost there the week before.
Exactly. So
yikes. Well done, Spain.
Not bad, Spain. And then Japan lost to Georgia.
The Euros was not coming home this morning.
I didn't watch that. I saw it was 2-1. Late goal to the Spanish.
Yeah. It's sorry, not England. Sorry, England.
I kind of want England to win because they haven't won jack
I definitely.
In
England's
for ages.
England's the team I support in football. The national, other than the All Whites. The All Whites don't often compete in anything of real consequence.
Mm.
But yeah, that was tough watch.
I didn't watch it.
The Spanish definitely deserve to win.
Okay.
They definitely deserve to
That's
win.
What I basically read online as well.
Mm. Yeah. Well, it's tough. Two finals in a row. Maybe the end of Southgate there. Who knows? Mate, got them to two Euros in a row. He's like, the fact they even got through the quarters in the semi-final, I think you've got
to
go.
Better than what they used to have with all the imported, like Sven-Goran Eriksson and
Sven-Goran Eriksson. Mm. Yeah, well. Oh, well. A lot of pain for the English again.
Georgia 25, Japan 23 in Japan. Suck it, Eddie.
Suck it, Eddie.
They had a red card pretty early.
Right, okay.
But I didn't watch it. I couldn't find it.
Yeah, I looked for highlights before you turned up and I couldn't see anything. But anything you know about the match?
Even though I watched the breakdown, which I've not been watching a lot of.
Yeah.
But I watched the breakdown and even they were like, suck it, Eddie.
Yeah.
You suck shit. Jeff Wilson's got no sympathy. He's like, oh, we've had him on the show and he's a really nice guy, but suck
it. Eat it. You know what I noticed? That there was a massive hoopla about JK's comments last week. John Kerwin.
What did he say?
He said that it was his quote marks were everywhere and he goes getting pounded on
the DNA thing.
He was like, I want the rules
to
change.
I want the rules to change to suit us, basically.
Yes. How do you feel about what he said?
Well, I mean, he's being honest.
Yeah. I want someone to come into this house and drop $1 million on my front doorstep.
That'd be nice. Yeah.
That I want.
Most people though wouldn't say that. You know what?
It's a New Zealand show that's made by Sky TV for a New Zealand network for a New Zealand audience. Like the fact it's on YouTube.
Yeah, but he should be saying like
what?
I want these rules changed like this because it's entertaining rugby and that's what's good for the game, not because it suits my team.
But I think it's better.
Being more honest. That's
just
what I mean.
Being honest and just saying, look, you could do the whole freaking thing about I want it to be, you know, more of a spectacle, and then you're going to get people still shouting you down, all that sort of stuff, going, you just want it because it's going to suit the thing. Him just coming out and saying,
well, at least he was honest. That's my first reaction.
Yeah, this is my prerogative. Yeah. This is what I'd like. This is the type of rugby that this team likes to play. It's not. And I see all these comments about people going, this is the NZR, freaking New Zealand rugby.
No, it's just JK.
He's not in a position of power. Yeah, just got.
A lot of people seem to think like he runs world rugby.
Yeah. He doesn't do shit.
No.
Like, he's just.
I remember when he was grilling Bill Beaumont, the current head of world rugby.
He's got no power. He's
when he was going for election. When it was him or what's the Argentinian guy's name?
The halfback.
Yeah, they were both running for the president of World Rugby. I wish it was that guy won it. Yeah, and it was Beaumont that won. So Beaumont came on, I guess, as part of his like election campaign.
The Joe Biden of World Rugby.
And like JK was grilling him. And a lot of the answers that Bill Beaumont was giving him was like, JK, like, we don't actually run that. That's the unions that do that. Like, yeah. Why doesn't World Rugby do this? Well, actually, you know, that's your unions that decide that, and then we do this. Like,
JK
didn't know shit about a lot of stuff. Like, a lot of stuff that he thinks, like, wow, World Rugby should just solve all these problems. Actually, World Rugby don't actually look after.
He's a talking head. And he says stuff.
He's the Matt Williams. He's the, what's the SA Rugby Mag guy?
I don't know if he says, the Matt Williams, well, him saying that his tirade about the reserves.
The 6-2 splits against the Mets. What a crock of shit.
Yeah, people are entitled to their opinions.
Yes. Yes.
And saying, I want this rules to be like this because I think that would actually favor the team. Like, yeah, that's good. Like, because you want your team to win because you like seeing your team win and you like it when the rules.
I still want to tick up for mine.
He got absolutely obliterated. Did I was like, what? What? And, wow. there were like people just re-quoting it going, the hypocrisy, how dare, this is just ridiculous.
And okay, then, I can't believe.
And every second comment had four trophy symbols as well.
I can't believe people take JK that seriously after all this time.
It's not necessary.
After all this time.
Yeah, he is pulling the strings. He produces this podcast, though.
That's true. Thanks, JK.
Thanks, JK, for all the tea.
There are more.
He's done a lot of good things. Like he was a massive advocate for mental health in New Zealand. Great All Black.
And he's a sir because of partly his sports stuff, but also because of his advocacy for mental health.
Yeah. Wrote a really powerful book called All Blacks Don't Cry about him like having massive mental health problems as an All Black. Yeah, he had a panic attack on the field.
I think that's a good thing in terms of opening up New Zealand to talking about mental illness.
Yeah, absolutely.
Something that's not really been talked about that much in the last.
Talk about it, guys. Ring up a pal. Sometimes I ring up Mark and I say, hey, are we podcasting tonight? And he says,
yep.
And then I know what he's trying to say. He's trying to say, I'm in a bad spot.
I need help.
I need to get out of my house and talk mindless bullshit about rugby for an hour. No, but it's all seriousness. Talk to your friends.
Yeah.
Have a chat.
My dad went to see his cousins the other day.
Yes.
They had like a little bit of a cousin reunion.
Aye.
One of those cousins, because there's three brothers, one of them committed suicide. Like my dad's got these three cousins.
Yeah.
One's kind of like the car nut and he's insane.
Yeah.
Like he built his own freaking car and took us for a drive for it. It didn't have seatbelts in the back. He was driving like 120 down a 50K road here in West Auckland. And I was like, he's the insane one.
One of them's a true bogan.
Yeah. One of them's the hunting nut. Like he's just always going on about shooting animals. That's all he cares about.
Yeah.
And they're both divorced.
Yeah, right? Fair enough.
And then there's the other one who took over the family home. Nice, like white picket fence.
That's the one.
Family home, boy and a girl, successful businessman. He's the one who killed himself.
Mm.
Like
people don't, you never know what
you
people,
can't. That's the thing.
What
you can't
demons
tell.
People are facing.
That's right. That's right. So it is.
Yeah. Definitely. And he probably felt like he, on the surface, everything's right, and he had no one to talk to. Mm. I can't. Maybe I shouldn't hypothesize about what he was going through. I'm sorry to hear that, dude. That's
but nice. Yeah, I mean, it was over a decade ago, but still, it's just like
it's rough.
It's one of those things that you can't see.
No,
you know, it's not like a broken leg or something where you can be like, oh, you're a bit broken. If your brain's a bit broken.
Aye. Don't know why I started saying aye. Like I'm some sort of captain, some sort of pirate. aye.
New Zealand are playing Fiji in San Diego this weekend. You think it'll be a lot of changes for the All Blacks?
Yep, I reckon there will be. I think Cortez Ratama will start.
Mm-hmm.
I think Perifeta might start at number 10. I think Bowden Barrett might get a rest.
He's getting on.
I think D-Mac.
Does Dogrell still captain?
Nope.
Mm.
I think
Artie?
Maybe
does he get a rest as well? Or do they play Satiti? I just burped.
They play Satiti and he captains.
on debut. Captain on debut. First All Black to captain on debut.
I think they'll play that big giant. Is it
debut or debut?
Debut.
I think it's debut? Supposed to be debut, isn't
debut?
It? But we say debut. I think us and the Aussies say debut.
debut. Okay. Now, as she said debut. Have you ever done that where you just say a word so many times it just starts to sound really odd?
Yeah.
Debut. That massive, what's his name? The Hurricanes prop is like 140 Pelosi, or what is that? Is that his name?
Tulsi.
Yeah, I think he'll play. Derry? No, Derry's not on the team, mate.
All of the guys who haven't had a game should get a game, right?
I'm just...
just throw out a name.
Yeah, exactly. I don't think Finlayson will play. He's got a...
picked up a knock, didn't he?
Yeah, I think Cortez Rutten might have outshined him in that game. He had quick... Cortez looked pretty quality, eh?
Yeah, he did. He looked the part. Easy.
Yeah, he looked good. But I think the All Blacks will win that game.
Get a game, yeah.
Yeah. Players who didn't play.
Basically.
And then with a... Like, I think they'll have... what's his name? Came on late in the game. He's a midfielder.
ALB.
Yeah. I was about to say he's a hyphenated name.
You like hyphenated names or you prefer like a single...
I don't care.
Don't care.
Yeah. They can be quite fun, like Roger Tuivasa-Sheck. Anton Leonard Brown, Sonny Bill Williams.
Yeah, the guys with the hyphenated names end up, for me, on my whiteboard, they end up getting the three-letter treatment. ALB, SBW.
Yeah, right.
You know, I've started calling Emmanuel Feiwaboso. He's, you know, IFW.
Oh, IFW. Sounds like some sort of military mistake. Yeah. We've had an IFW over here.
Yeah.
Okay.
Australia's playing Georgia.
Australia should get up for that, don't they? Hopefully it's a good game.
Does Joe Schmidt also change things up, or does he get some consistency?
We need to make sure we win. I think there'll be changes. I think that in South Africa playing Portugal, there'll be changes.
Yeah, Russie's, I think he said in his press conference that he's already internally named the side for the Portugal game, and it's going to be guys who didn't play.
He's three steps ahead, that genius, man. He's just been playing. These have just been warm-up games for the Portugal game.
Tonga's playing Spain. Good on Spain for coming down here and playing Samoa and Tonga.
Yeah, that's throwing yourself into the island fire.
Yeah, for sure.
Well done.
South Africa playing Portugal. Yes. South Africa's going to change it up. Portugal beat Namibia this week, just gone.
Okay, good.
So they're in
Africa.
I really
enjoyed watching Portugal at the World Cup.
They're a fun team to watch.
Yeah, so hopefully.
Good to see them get a game. Chile playing Scotland.
That's not going
to be broadcast here, but Chile also played crazy in standing rugby.
They were nice to watch, yeah.
Yeah.
That's the thing, like, that's what I really want to see is I want to see the emergence of, like, a South American style, you know? Like,
yeah.
We have, like, a Japanese style, the New Zealand style, the South African style, like...
Even Australian style, right?
Yeah.
Uruguay are playing Argentina, which will be a bit of a South American grudge match.
But Argentina should get
Uruguay played midweek against France.
Oh, how'd they go?
They lost pretty handily, I think.
Not surprising.
I'm not even sure if that one was a test, because on World Rugby side, it looks like a test. But on the French website, they're calling it a development 15.
Okay. And what's the last game?
Japan against Italy.
Mm.
That's a tasty one. Those sides are there or thereabouts, yeah. I think. Those are both like the...
It's a little bit of a come down, though, the whole weekend, isn't it? After the...
It's not quite Ireland, South Africa, New Zealand or England.
Even Wales, Australia had like a little tastiness to it.
Yeah. France aren't playing, their tour is done.
So how many of the... I have to watch... Which games do you want me to watch?
You should watch New Zealand, Fiji.
I'll watch that.
That's 1:30, I think.
PM.
Afternoon game on a Saturday.
I like to play golf.
This guy knows golf.
Okay, I think it's raining.
I want to write a video.
What's that?
What do you want to write a video about?
My big old nuts.
These nuts.
These nuts. Have you heard of Dragons?
Dragons.
Yeah.
The music?
No, because I'm going to be dragging these nuts across your face. Do you like tape decks? You like tape decks? Because I'm going to be taping this deck to your forehead. I apologize.
You're loving every second of it.
It's so stupid. Taping this dick to your forehead. Okay. what would you do? Like, you'd have to turn up to a family event, but yeah, some guy is blackmailed you into a situation where you have to, he has to be sort of hovering over, again, I'm not going to go there. I was going to go down a very odd path, but let's save it for next week.
This is a podcast.
Yeah, it's a podcast called
2 Cents Gets Distracted. Yes. It's a rugby podcast.
Where we talk about rugby.
Sometimes.
And we also talk about taping dicks to force. Dragging these nuts across your face. Talk about all sorts of things.
If you found an alley in the warehouse, let me know what prize you got and if you were being grateful or ungrateful.
Yeah, and if you had an existential crisis during this podcast, let us know what weird places you found in that as well. And would love to. Best existential crisis comment we'll read out next week. We've never read out a comment ever.
I don't think we have. Never. Oh, well, questions podcast we have. Oh, that's yeah. about it.
Yeah, yeah. You can find this podcast on Apple Podcasts.
Also on Spotify.
And iHeartRadio.
You know, I used the little... My parents won a competition and they got one of them smart...
It's quite handsy sometimes, you know?
Smart radios.
Siri. No, what are they called?
Yeah, so it's got like a Google Assistant.
What do they... Yeah, people say, hey...
Hello, Google.
Or...
Whatever it is.
Don't do it. Yeah.
So
robot overlords will hear us.
My kids love just go and play this, play that. You know, son's like play Metallica, play AC/DC. Nice. My daughter's like play Taylor Swift, play Johnny Cash.
Bit of Johnny
weirdly
Cash?
Enough. Yeah,
she Hurt?
Loves,
what is it?
She loves like? A bit of Johnny Cash.
Good on her.
But then I was like, Google play 2 Cents Gets Distracted. And it came up. I was like, yeah. And they're like, Dad, this is rubbish.
This guy's talking about dragging his nuts across your face. Why do you talk to him?
Yeah, good times.
Yeah.
All right.
All right, well done. Congratulations. Thank you for watching. We appreciate you.
Yeah, good to see you for as long as we did it. So.
Yeah, exactly. You look good this week.
Good effort.
You really do.
Yeah.
Hide it out.
Take care.